How's it going, everybody? You are now listening to my podcast, Timmy D and the Industry. Rock and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, another day, another dollar. Thank you so much for tuning in to Timmy D and the Industry. Please like, subscribe, and start following us on many different platforms as they start to pop up with this new season of Timmy D and the Industry. Season 8, good God. Season 8, but really only for 6 years, but I split a couple of the seasons, so it kind of puts us where they are. I don't care. You know what I care about? Talking to all you fine folks out there and saying a big thank you for constantly being a fan of what I do, constantly listening to the music that I get to produce, whether it is my band Pullman Standard or any of the side projects that I work on or any of the other people that I've had the privilege of working with and putting music out with them. Having said that, it is late Sunday night, early Monday morning, and wow, what a weekend. I had the opportunity the last 3 days to interview two people that had a lot to do with my career. I'm going to play a little snippet from one of the podcasts that we recorded because I want to two-part these podcasts and I want to long form them. Sorry if I'm a little bit drowsy. It's been a long day. I've been working on a lot of stuff. Have some new projects in the wings. I am going to play a tune by my friend Jillian Calkins that we just recorded on Friday morning. She came over, she had an idea, and we whipped up this idea. And my God, she was great with the lyrics. We got some production in there, laid down some cool track stuff, some cool synth. And the song is called For Him. And I think you all need to hear this. If there's somebody out there who you truly just really have something with, this is a good tune to kind of enjoy that. So enjoy. Once we finish up our commercial break, this will play into the next part of the podcast. But I have some things I want to talk about, and I know I sound somber, so I'll keep it slow and low, but I'll also say thank you. Thank you constantly. I think this week is going to be a week of talking about not a new idea, but more an idea that I practice on the daily, and I try and do my best to keep it weekly, monthly, yearly, and keep marching forward. There was something I realized somewhere in the middle of my journey through Los Angeles. It really was somewhere towards the end of 2016 and really marched upon me heavily on my heart at the beginning of 2018. I've always done my best to help other people out. I've always done my best to do something when something needs to be done. As the famous quote goes, you're never wrong for doing the right thing. And a lot of people say, well, how do you know what the right thing is? Because if your heart thinks the right thing is something, and maybe you're not doing the right thing. Tell you what, if your heart is telling you to do the quote unquote right thing, it's probably the right thing. So something that I'm going to encourage and really stress upon people, I've had many jobs I've worked. And there's a lot of different ends of the spectrum. You could be somebody in the service industry. They call it the service industry, but you're working for tips. I get it. And then there's people that work construction jobs. And I would like to say that, where's their tip? I've worked a lot of construction, worked moving jobs. Man, when you're handling somebody else's stuff, and we're talking stuff that costs good chunks of money, Yeah, you're getting paid to handle that. But there's no gratitude except for a thanks and a handshake to your foreman, your on-site foreman, which I ended up becoming at some point, working for Renato Handling and Barrington Interiors and Luke Stevens Staging. And it was a privilege. And an honor that my boss would give me that title to actually lead the charge. Circling back around. Service. Serving. Some people serve in the Army. Some people serve in the service industry of waiting tables. Some people are bartenders. Some people are construction workers. Some people are movers. Some people work in social... what's the word I'm looking for? Social worker. That's the word I'm looking for. Social worker. Now, let's throw all that to the side. And my new... I charge all you listeners, anybody who's listening to the sound of my voice right now, if you're not bored shitless already, let's get serious. I'm asking you all to start serving. This world needs an enema.
Batman.
This town needs an enema.
Can somebody tell me what
I gotta
kind
play that clip.
Of
Jack
world
Nicholson
we live
from,
in? We're a man
the original Batman.
Up
so
as
cool.
A bat.
This town needs an enema. Well, you know what? We all need a little bit of a metaphorical
enema.
We need a cleansing. And I mean cleansing in our own hearts. We've all been cooped up. We've all been fighting the right and wrong for what we should do. Should I social distance? Should I do this? Should I wear a mask? You know what? I don't care what your thoughts are on that. I don't care if you feel the need to wear a mask. I don't care if you don't want to wear a mask. I don't care if you feel the need to social distance or you don't care about social distancing. But what I do care about is serving. Find somebody to help. It can be a complete stranger. It could be your best friend. It could be your wife. It could be your kids. Most of the time we find ourselves living through the mundane. I ask you all, I implore you all to start serving again. Do something for the reason of just doing it. What do you get out of it? You've just helped your fellow human. Stop whining about the things that don't matter. Stop complaining about the things that aren't worth complaining about. Stop burning calories on arguments. Stop burning calories on disagreements. Stop burning calories on worrying about things that you have no control over. You know what you have control over? You. You know what you could do? Help somebody out. If you feel uncomfortable about some of these people that you may approach, all right, that's fine. Safety first. Find your neighbor and catch them while they're coming home from work and say, hey, what do you got going on this weekend? I'd love to help you out. If they question why, say, I don't know. It was put on my heart. I would like to help you out with something. What do you got going on? You got to clean your rain gutters? What can I do? Help your neighbor. Help your friend. Find somebody to help. That's how I'm going to start this podcast out today. Find somebody to help. Maybe you're a songwriter and you've got a talent for writing great lyrics. And you've got a buddy in the industry. And maybe him or her are not as good at writing lyrics, but they can formulate some melodies. Maybe they're just starting out in the industry. Mentor them. Maybe in this day and age of social media, they aren't turned on to maybe a website that could help them market better. Maybe they know about Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Tumblr, Rumblr, Fumbler, Mumbler, but they don't know about one of those websites that may help market their indie music. You guys ever heard of a website called Indie on the Move? It helps you book shows. And when shows start coming back, and rest assured they will, for the indie band, you're going to need some help. Go to indieonthemove.com. They helped me book my first, I don't even know how many tours. They didn't do the work for me. You have to do the work yourself, but they are a library of free information, which is starting to be hard to come by on the internet. Normally, it's all subscription-based. That's good. But the internet used to be something a little bit more wild, wild west. You needed help getting something done, you could find it. Now you could find it too, but it's going to cost you. So, I implore you to help somebody. For you younger ones out there, find somebody to help that needs a physical helping hand. Maybe you got a strong back and your neighbor doesn't, and they have had this couch sitting in their basement for the last 3 years that needs to be moved up to large item pickup out in front of the house, and you have a few friends that have strong backs as well. Get them together. Do it for free. Don't ask for a damn thing in return. If anything, show up with some bottles of water. Show up and bring some Arrowhead water, some LaCroix, you name it, some sparkling water. Bring some hot dogs, hamburgers, and turn it into a thing. Help them move their couch and then have lunch with them. Maybe you're an older neighbor that sees some of these kids doing some woodworking. And you used to be a carpenter. And they're trying to build something for who knows what. Go over there. Show them how to route something. Show them how to bevel the edge of a nice piece of molding that needs to go up in the house. Ladies, there are younger women out there that need a mentor. Trust you me. They need somebody to show them how to be strong. They need somebody to share a story with them of how to make it through. Gentlemen, you too. Share a story. Find somebody. Find somebody and be of service. Stop asking what is in it for you. Because guess what? There are people out there that I have great relationships with that this is the normal for them. You want to talk about a new normal? People say, oh, wearing a mask is the new normal. Social distancing is the new normal. You know what the new normal needs to be? Is people being of service all the time. There are a lot of people that are fans of mine that I talk to, and they are always of service. You guys are doing great. You're always of service. Then there are people out there that have heard of me, and they're just trying to get theirs. Maybe they give me a DM once in a while. Hey man, I really like that new song. Cool, I'm excited. That gets me juiced. Do something for the fact of just doing it. You have your goals, you have your aspirations. I have a lot of shit to do. I have a lot of shit to do on a daily basis. I don't get money for this podcast. I have sponsors that pay the bills for this podcast, meaning my sponsors for this podcast give me enough money to pay for the fees that I have on Buzzsprout. So whatever it is, $12.99 a month, $25 in total for all the, you know, extra little bits and pieces I pay marketing-wise. I don't charge them a lot. Most of the time it's for trade. Hey, tell you what, you give me a free guitar, I will talk about you for the next 50 episodes. Tell you what, you pay for my Buzzsprout fees for the next year, and I will give you the next year of free advertisement. How much is your Buzzsprout fee? Well, depending on how many podcasts I do a month, between $12.99 and $19.99. But if you can pay me $20 a month, that's great. And people are like, $20? That's nothing. Hey, podcast pays for itself, and I promise to give it to you every Monday and Thursday from here on out, as best as I can. I got to hang out with my old manager from my first real successful pop punk band on Friday, and it was like hanging out with a person that put the love of the world back in my heart. they reminded me of how much of a jerk I used to be when I was just some young idiot, ego-driven in my early 20s, and how much of a nice guy I was in my teens, and how being strong and taking that person who's nice but not being a pushover. I was a pushover in my teens. I was egotistical from age 19 to 22, and from age 23 to where I am now, I have nothing but privilege in my bones. I'm not talking about this white privilege bullshit. I'm talking about the privilege of being alive. I'm talking about the privilege of being able to breathe and shed wisdom upon people. And before that wisdom existed, I had the privilege of gaining wisdom and helping other people out, being of service. Early on in my journey in the Los Angeles scene, I would watch people leech onto other people that they thought were up and coming. They're going to be the next big thing. No. That's not the way it goes. I'm friends with, I don't know if any of you know what Slate Digital is. Steven Slate, I consider a friend. I don't know if he considers me a friend anymore because he's been so far removed from our friendship. When I first met him, I didn't know him from hole in the ground. He was just a cool cat, and we had some stuff in common, i.e. music, different bands that, you know, he liked and I liked. My girlfriend at the time was friends with his girlfriend at the time, and we hung out. I showed up to a lot of parties at his house in the Hollywood Hills. He had a really nice house. He had just bought it. He had just come upon a lot of money. I didn't know. I didn't care. He was a nice guy. He was a good guy. He had a good heart. And I'd like to think he still does, because you see the stuff that he's creating. Slate Digital helps the person who doesn't have the money to record drums in a big studio, who doesn't have the money to buy some $10,000 mic. You could buy his microphone for $800 and you can emulate that $10,000 mic, and I guarantee you to 99.9% of the people out there, they won't know the difference. He's done a lot for the music industry in a great way, and he continues to do so. Streamlining processes. I would even like to say that he's kind of a little Steve Jobs of the pro audio industry, recording digital industry. He's a good guy. Slate, I'd like to hang out with you sometime soon. Unfortunately, and fortunately, I moved to San Diego, so we're a little bit farther apart now. I only used to be about 4 miles from your house. As the crow flies, now 144 miles from your house, and it's all good. I encourage all of you. I think I really wanted to take the first 20 minutes of this podcast to encourage all of you to get out there and be of service. Start finding people that not only you can help, but people that wouldn't expect, and you show up and just be their Superman. Just be their superwoman. Be the unexpected. I think what makes things so amazing in life is when you get to be the unexpected. You get to be that person that shows up on scene and gets to help somebody out and be the unexpected. Because people have come to not expect that, at least in my circles, which is sad. And I know in the rest of this country, there's a lot of natural disasters going on. Hurricanes, tornadoes, really strong, powerful storms. And right now in California, we've got the fires burning. And that's the one thing that I will say that I've always been exposed to with the California wildfires is people come together and help each other out. We need more of that. but all the time. Not just when there's a wildfire tearing through the canyon country. Not just when there's a hurricane. You know what would be really cool is going to your neighbor's house and saying, yo, I remember you talking about needing to get that awning done, but you said that you needed a glue lamp beam installation and you have the wherewithal because you have all the tools. You just need a couple guys. Tell you what, me and my bro, we could lift that 400-pound lamp beam and help install it if you can get one other guy. We'll just do it. We'll even bring the pizzas over. Now, granted, I am saying that there are some things that need to be done first. Before you could be of service, you need to be able to be worthy to deliver that service, i.e., first of all, one of the basic things, you need to be breathing. It's pretty simple. If you're breathing, you're alive. You need to have some water in your veins. You need to be hydrated. This may sound stupid, but I'm telling you right now, if you're breathing, you're alive. If you're drinking water, that means that you're not living in the desert and you're actually in a place to start walking forward to find some food. If you can feed yourself, then you can find a roof over your head. If you have a roof over your head, then now you're doing okay. You got clothes on your bones. All right. You're presentable. There's all these basic things, but you don't need a lot to fill a little bit of space and lift something, do something, walk an extra mile for somebody, drive an extra mile to pick somebody up that doesn't have access to a car. My old neighbor did not have a vehicle and they just needed some help getting to the bus stop in the morning. This is years ago. Years ago. I remember twice a week I used to help take them to the bus stop. For no other reason. But because they need it. And we need more of that kind of shit. So, the rest of this podcast, we're going to interview and talk about old times. But I encourage you all to be of service. We'll be right back.
Timmy D in the Industry is proudly brought to you by Backstage360.com. Artist interviews, album reviews, featured content, press releases about that band you haven't heard from in a while, press releases about that band you can't stop hearing about. Get your 360-degree take on the music scene of today at Backstage360.com. Unique style, unique sound, embedded in familiar designs, partnered with instruments and accessories that live up to their legacy. Groove Pro Instruments brings the big ideas to the boutique musicians and delivers with rugged perfection. Designs brought to you by Master Luthier Scott LeCompte. Groove Pro Instruments are designed and produced to add style to your style. Find them online today at www.getthatgroove.com. Once again, that's www.getthatgroove.com.
I think about the time we were so confused. Priorities in life, take a backseat to booze. But then the lights are gone and you were standing there, giving me a choice of hope or despair. This is my moment to shine. I will rise and fight in my way, in my own way. I will finally win the day. I wonder if I'm right to question everything. I need a special someone to break it down to me.
It's not when you turn the solo up louder, but you almost bring the rhythm and the bass guitar down a little bit. That solo pops a little more.
You're so amped in the studio.
Yeah.
To go to, you know, balls out.
Yeah.
And then, but it's when you just gotta have to, like, you figure out your metronome times, right? Like, in, it's all about pre-production, right?
I am so stoked to write a song with you.
Yeah.
Like, everything we talk about, I'm like, Bo, I've never not only written with you, I've never recorded you, I've never had an opportunity to coach you vocally, because there are things with your vocals where, like, Sean Tawley, who did it. Let's talk about the last record, actually, or the newest record. So please, I'm talking with Bo from Lexington Field. He's the lead singer of Lexington Field, fiddle rock band from San Diego. They've done plenty of touring over the years. They're just a tour de force. When you go see them, they're just energy and love. I think love also. And it's fiddle rock, not, excuse me, it's, in my opinion, it's fiddle rock, not Irish music. I know you guys are very well, you know, you have your Irish roots and you guys are very well.
That's how we started.
Embedded. You started as the Irish, but I don't think of you guys like that. I think of you guys like, it's like when you went and saw Yellow Card, it was a pop punk band with a violinist. Mm-hmm. You guys are a kind of rock band with pop punk influences, but it's rock with pop punk influences with the fiddle roots, the Irish roots.
Yeah, there's some Celtic there.
Yeah.
Sprinkled.
Yeah, throughout. Well, Celtic and almost what people would call pirate rock now. There's a band called Merzik. I will send you a link to their stuff. That's pirate rock, and it is amazing. It'll blow you out. Ladies and gentlemen, Merzik, Murzik. And it's pirate and gypsy.
We fit with pirate and gypsy bands.
Yeah, you do very well.
Yeah.
Very well. But the great thing is, it's like when you listen to Pierce the Veil, it sounds like you're listening to a pop punk Coheed and Cambria from San Diego. Am I right?
Yeah.
And San Diego, truly, if you listen to a band, they have the San Diego roots formulate. Yeah. I think Lexington Field is very authentic because you have the San Diego roots, so you're very... It's this paradise fiddle rock. You guys aren't Jimmy Buffett or anything. You know what I mean.
There's I know what just, you mean.
It's very lighthearted. It's the difference between when you listen to Flogging Molly, it's like a giant storm front coming in. It's very thick. It's very hearty. It's like bratwurst and spicy mustard as opposed to just a nice, cool pepper jack slider.
Yeah, I feel like you can really feel our San Diego influence in the music.
And it's great. Yeah. There's a lot of, it harkens back to where we're from. The pop punk influence keeps it lighthearted.
That's how I got started. So
keeps it peppery.
That's how I got started. So it's obviously going to come out in my songwriting and how I sing. But the cool part is, you know, with Brian as the other songwriter and then taking the fiddle and putting it right in the middle.
Yeah.
It's a nice...
Take the fiddle and put it in the middle.
Yeah.
It's good. I didn't finish that thought. I always felt that... Okay, so we're talking about the new record is called...
Win the Day.
Win the Day. Five songs?
Six songs.
Thank you. Sorry. I've done a lot of music regurgitation this week. Listening to the Ataris.
I was telling you about this.
Ah, they're so good. But let's get back to you guys. Six songs. You can go check them out. Lexington Field. Let me spell this out for you really quick. LexingtonField. Lexington space field is the name of the band, but don't put the space in there and add a .com, and that'll take you to the website, and then that will direct you to all other social media platforms. Please go listen to them. Let your day be made better, because you can't be in a bad mood listening to Lexington Field. You just feel a little bit better when that music plays.
Oh, thanks, Tim.
You're welcome, man.
Thank you.
But I think that's something. So Sean Tawley produced the last record.
Yeah, we recorded at Clarity Recordings out in Rancho San Diego.
Is that what his studio is called?
That's
now?
What he calls it. Clarity Recordings.
All right.
Yeah. It was. We did a single, a Christmas song with him. Back at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And he also mixed our EP Modern Times back that we released back in 2018. Okay. We've done a couple one-offs with Sean, but his studio has come leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And just working with him, it was great to finally have a full project to work with him from like beginning to end. And it was a great experience.
Really track happy number
with,
three.
Yeah. Track number three, Turns.
That's where we're going. Now let's backtrack.
Okay.
By accident, what does my shirt say?
The Goonies.
by accident, I just grabbed, I got out of the shower. I finished my run this morning. I'm like, shit, Bo's coming over. We got a freaking podcast. I finished my run. I'm showering up. I get out of the shower, dry it off, grab this. My closet is just an amalgamation of t-shirts. So I just grab, okay, well, I'm going to wear this black t-shirt. And I'm just walking around the house, still getting things together. I look down and it's my Goonies t-shirt.
It was meant to be.
It's meant to be. And this is why it's meant to be. Troy's bucket is a reference in the movie Goonies. What does he say? Can you quote that for me?
It's our time down here.
That's all. It's their time up there.
It's all over the second you ride up Troy's bucket.
Thank you. Okay.
You sing it better than I play it on guitar.
If I was a millionaire, I have everything figured out. I wouldn't be standing here without a clue. Am I singing international something?
You're singing Graduation Hangover.
Thank you! That was like
one of my great.
One of my favorite songs from you guys. I used to depend on the linen and the walls, my clothes. There's two versions of that song.
There's actually like three versions of
okay,
that song.
Okay, so yeah. Then the walls are closing. And the newer version was the walls are closing. Whoever you had to do the drums on that version, I was like, wow. Who do you have do the drums on that version?
I think Steve Serrano, Rick Romero was the bulk of the main drummer for Troy's Bucket. So he did drums. He recorded,
Little Rick.
Little Rick Romero. He's doing great too, by the way.
We have to catch up on that.
He put really together our video for Dear Sorrow for Lexington Field.
Talk about him. Yeah. I liked Rick. Rick was a good cat, man. I felt like he didn't have a powerful presence on drums. And it's not because he was a smaller dude. He's a smaller guy. What is he, like 5'5"?
He's like me, yeah.
No, you're like 5'8".
I am not 5'8". I am 5'6", and Rick and I are like same height. We're both little
guys. Why do I always
feel
like you were bigger than him?
I'm not. We're the same size.
Rick? Sorry, Rick. Rick's going to be like, you fucking piece of shit.
I'm taller than Bo. I'm
fucking taller than Bo. Rick always just came in. You always just felt bigger. You always felt bigger than him. Like, you just, maybe because it's your presence.
It's probably because I was in front of him.
Yeah, and he was sitting.
Yeah, and he was sitting. I was standing.
I'm so sorry.
Rick recorded drums for Graduation Hangover. We did a version.
Who did the other version?
Steve Serrano.
Okay.
That was the version.
Steve Serrano from? Why do I know him?
I mean, he was our drummer for a brief period when Rick took a break from the band.
Rick took a break. You had Mark for a hot minute.
Yeah, for
Big
a little
Mark.
Bit. Yeah. Then Steve after that. And then, and then we switched things up a little bit. And at the very end, Boston from Trite played drums for us.
Thank you. He's a good cat, man. Yeah. I always enjoyed his company. I love Chino. There were times where I was very intrigued by his antics, and
he played bass.
He played bass in Troy's Bucket for a hot minute, and I just remember him shitting on the floor at my buddy JT's house. You guys were playing a party there. No, Remick was playing a party at my buddy JT's house, and Chino was there with a bunch of your guys' CDs, and he shit on JT's floor.
Right. I believe this story. This sounds very believable.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Yeah. Is like, I just recall him shitting on the
floor. Ladies and gentlemen, we're temporarily experiencing difficulties. Please stand by.
So Chino, I love Chino. I do. Like, there's certain people you love at a distance. Like, bro, you're my boy. You know, from whatever distance I've ever been separated, we've had some rad long conversations. I remember being at the shit end of my rope with Pullman Standard out on tour and having a great conversation with you. And you just being like, dude, you're doing it, man. Just hang in there, you know, and subtle words of encouragement that you've given me. And it's like, that's why I like Bo, because Bo actually doesn't, like I always thought.
You're going to get the truth.
Exactly. And that's what I think a lot more, like when I was talking about Tim Piles. I love Tim Piles. I think the road that he travels is I think a lot of people kiss his ass and it bothers me. And I understand, rightly so, dog. You play the local hour. Like, local bands want their song on air, so they're going to kiss your ass to get it on air, as opposed to be like, yo, just be real with them. Be real with them. Yeah, just be like, look, we would love it if you played our song. Tim loves avant-garde bands that are, like, I would call them, in LA, I'd call them Silver Lake bands, but down here in San Diego, I just call them too cool for school hipster bands. I'm serious. Timmy loves bands that have no work ethic, that don't really give a shit. But
he must love the music.
The music's amazing. The music,
yeah.
Listen to some of the most awesome bands that Timmy plays. They're great. They actually, you listen to their music, you're like, fuck, this is so good. And the guy's got a great taste for music. But the thing is with that style of music comes a very laissez-faire attitude. Like, you see some of these hipster bands, you're like, how are you so hipster and you even got a CD recorded? Because there's got to be some balls. You got to have some gumption. You have to have some work ethic because this album got recorded.
Yeah, and it takes a lot to record an album.
Yes, it does.
It's a long process.
Recording the new Lexington Field record. When did you guys start on that? I'm sure during Corona, had that opportunity of everything shutting down.
We spent the year writing. But we spent 2019 writing the songs. And then we went into pre-production, which is basically, when I say pre-production, it's like, let's demo these drums, put some guitars, make sure we got everything in order that's going to sound right. Basically catch it before you go into the studio.
Yeah.
And then once we did, and then into January is when we started recording.
Famously, I remember loving the face-to-face documentary. It wasn't documentary. It was like behind the scenes. It was the Epitaph. I think they were on Epitaph. One of the record labels, they put out that kind of, back in the day, they used to put a DVD out that kind of promoted the band. Uh-huh. MXPX had a really good one. Do you remember that one?
I have all of them.
Yeah. Okay, good. Which one's your favorite out of that? It's right when they put out Let It Happen,
I think. It's like, was it Move to Bremerton or they had?
I saw that one, but the one that I like is the one where they had just put out The Ever Passing Moment.
Do you know one of my favorite records?
That is actually, I was listening to it on my run today. What is the song I was thinking? I was on my way to be with you today.
My Life Story.
My Life Story, thank you. This is one of my favorite tunes, hands down.
Yeah, I remember screaming that in the car.
It's great.
Well, you know me, MXPX is probably the band for me. It's like my favorite. They're my favorite from the beginning. Yeah. Even to now, just they're one of my favorite bands.
I hit up Mike Herrera on his podcast, like, do you ever DM them or anything? I always just give them attaboys.
I'm like a fanboy.
Yeah. Start DMing him, dude, because that's what I started doing, is I started just being like, yo, dog, attaboy. Like, I listened to your last podcast. It was great. On point. Uh-huh. Boom. That's it. And I think, you know, like, that's what I mean, is like, be a fan, and be a fan that offers critiques, not criticism. Be a fan that just sheds love. I'm actually doing, I'll show you a tune. There's this hip-hop pop punk project called Nice to Know You, and the lead singer is Matthew Sanchez, and I'm cameoing on his record. He's been a fan of mine since Remick. I gave him, I think he was like 13 or 12 years old, I gave him and his brother a CD at one of our shows, all age shows, and has stayed in touch with me ever since. Always likes all my photos. That's awesome. Always, you know, and he finally got in touch with me and DM'd me saying, hey, I've got this song I demoed, and I was like, send it over. And he sent it over. I was like, this is really good. This is actually really good. And I was like, I'd love to be on this track. So
that happens a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I saw you guys play at the Music Trader in Santee. And I was like, what? I was like 11.
Dude, the guy that works at Rock Sound or what's in Point Loma? Rock and Roll SD? Whatever those rehearsal studios are.
Yeah, I remember.
Point Loma.
Over by Soma.
Yeah, the guy behind the desk. I was like, hey, here for rehearsal space, blah, blah, blah. And I was there with my brother. We were just kind of punching up a few tunes. And he was like, I saw you guys at the Del Mar Fair in 2013. And you had these vanity lights. Go, go, bitch, go, papa. It was great. I loved it. It was awesome. And that's good.
It's always fun to hear that.
DM my career.
I will. Because he was a big, big inspiration for me.
At least once every other week, I'll listen to his podcast or just check out what they got going on. What you expect from MXPX, you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no, you don't show up to a show and expect more, and you don't show up to a show and ever get less. Do you know what I mean?
No,
you know what you're going
to
get with them. They're amazing. Every time I've seen them, Mike's amazing. Rock and roll Mikey, if you're listening to this.
I even went to, my wife and I drove up to the Mint up in LA and saw his side band Tumble Down.
Yes!
So his side band Tumble
Down. Were we there together?
I don't know. Were you at that show?
I was at that show.
It was packed.
Yes.
And it was just intense.
Yes.
And it was just like, it's just like country punk band that he's... That
was so funny when Tumble Down, because it was like the, I'd like to call it the lost years of MXPX, when he did the MXPX All-Stars, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he, like the guys in MXPX had kind of gone career, and Mike Herrera...
He probably took a break, and Mike kept
And Mike's
going.
The fucking talent. Yeah. So I posed that question.
Sure.
What band is more successful? The band where the lead singer is everything? Like Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters. He writes everything.
Yeah.
Like, everybody needs to get a grip on that and be like, no, the whole band writes. No, they don't.
No,
Dave Grohl writes everything, and then the band comes in and pretends to record things.
Yeah, like Weezer with Rivers.
Yeah, Rivers writes everything.
I mean, Brian and Patrick will write some songs, but really, it's all Rivers.
It's all Rivers, and that's that.
And he's the lead singer. Chris from the Ataris is another one. I mean, he basically does that. I mean,
yeah,
he was saying, dude, he records everything,
too. Do you remember that show? I felt for him. I saw that video of him literally, like...
Losing his shit. Yeah, I saw that. I was not at that show. I didn't... I heard about it.
I had a drummer that I hired for one of my tours, and if I was there, I probably would have strangled him. He called one of our fans a cunt. Like, literally... I'll bleep that. But we're in Flagstaff. We play a great show at the Hotel Monta Vista. Fan comes up, asks him for his autograph. He's like, I'm not in the effing band, you effing C word. And,
oh, jeez. So stupid.
And I'm like, this guy had anger management issues, number one, which he admitted to us like 1 week before the tour ended. He's like, oh, I just got out of rehab for anger management issues. His older brother was like a high-powered attorney that he was like, I'm going to sue you motherfuckers. And then his older brother called me up. He's like, he's not going to sue you. He has anger management issues. I really appreciate you not killing him. Like, it was that tour. Like,
be friendly.
Dude,
be friendly.
What is so hard about being stoked? Do you realize what you get to do for a living? And I think it's more apparent now because of coronavirus. More musicians are like, oh, shit. Connection and music is so stupidly necessary. But the two have to go hand in hand. That's why things need to open up. We need to be careful about this. But... connection. I've been saying that. We need connection. We need memories and experiences.
That's what we miss the most, right? Yeah. This whole time is
the
playing.
Live show.
The live
the
shows.
Human,
I mean,
connection,
we just did
being able to connect.
We did like an online festival the other day, like yesterday.
What is a fucking online festival?
Right?
I'm
so,
sorry.
I mean...
I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. What did I just say?
What's an online festival? Oh, just...
I know what an online festival is, son.
you know.
Oh my God! Can we get you back in studio in like a couple weeks?
Yeah,
because not only promoting the record, but we need to record, and I want to write.
Sure.
So we're gonna do that. There's so much more I want to talk about. The last live show you saw in 2020 was
mine. I mean, does mine count?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd you guys play?
Playing down Barrio Logan at Thorn Tree Brewery.
Nice.
It was a week before St. Patrick's Day, and there's this Los Patricios.
I remember being booked at the Hennessy's in Vegas for St. Patrick's Day, and they called me 2 days before and said, don't bother.
Yeah.
St. Patty's was on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
That but weekend, like they shut everything down.
Yeah,
that
the
Saturday.
Weekend, the weekend was when all the big gigs were happening. We played there for a special, like, there's a Mexican-Irish relationship.
Yeah.
The big celebration. So it was an awesome show. It was our last live show that we played. Ton of people there. It was really great. And then we did we were going to play Shamrock with Dale's band, mm-hmm. The Heart, down at...
I just saw that.
Or Drunken Lullabies. I think they beat Drunken Lullabies.
They, for that show. Yes. They just played The Rooftop at the Del Mar Plaza last Friday. I went and saw them. They're great.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Dale is slender.
Is he?
But he's getting it back. It's just crazy to see like what cancer does to people.
And he's well, he's
but he's
just,
hammering
he's
it.
Such
the boy's
a
healthy.
Dude.
Yeah, he's a strong dude. He looks good.
Feels great.
I love him. I love him. He's definitely. We've had our ups and downs as brothers should, through the years. But he's a brother to me.
He runs the studio, your studios with Chris.
Yeah.
And that's basically where Lexington Field...
I want to get Chris in here.
Yeah, like...
I told him, I was like, yo, tell Chris I want to interview him. Because Chris never really liked me
production.
With Getty City. He thought I was an asshole. So, I mean, I found that out years later. I always loved Chris.
Yeah.
And then Dale's like, yeah, he doesn't really like you.
And I was
like,
whatever.
But the thing is, though, is then I had a great talk with him like a year after Pullman Standard started. And he like gave me a huge hug. He came and saw us right after we won the Your Song contest. Gave me a huge hug. He's like, I'm so proud of you, man.
Yeah,
like,
he's great.
Like, you've really come into your own. Like, yeah. You're really... So it's good. I love those moments.
Chris...
We need to two-part this.
We should.
Yeah, I'm going to get you back in here. Plus, we need to do a song. We've been going for way over an hour. That's the longest shit. I'm going to hate cutting this down because there's just too much goodness. The tune that was playing coming out of the commercial break was...
Win the Day.
Thank you. And that's Lexington Field at lexingtonfield.com. And go and like and follow and subscribe and do everything you can to support. For all you San Diegans out there, support the local scene. For anybody else in the region, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Arizona, support the region. Love the music that surrounds and abounds and makes its way into your soul through word of mouth, through people that travel, which right now there's not a lot of travel going on. And then on the national and international scale, check them out on the Spotify worlds and share. Share, like, share, like, share, like. I can't stress enough that this is a new music industry, and this music industry depends on the camaraderie of the artisans and the camaraderie of the fans, and some are both. Either way, if a task once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be that labor big or small, do it well or not at all. For Bo Gray, my name is Timmy D. Rock and roll.
For me, what I can be, a beacon of light, bringer of life for him, kindness above all, he
Diamond Heart Production.